The Volume.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, we are back inside the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Canelo Alvarez just picks up an 11th round knockout. I am here at the MGM. My broadcast partner, Sergio Mora, is back in Los Angeles. Sergio, just give me your takeaways right off the bat. Caleb Plant gets stopped, the 11th round by Canelo. Talk to me.
First of all, give me some energy, Mannix. You're in Las Vegas, and I'm more excited about it than you are. Where's the energy, man? Come on, adrenaline. We had to be 11 rounds of nice boxing by Caleb Plant. I think he followed a game plan, but he wasn't winning rounds. I gave him two rounds max, and only one of them was kind of definitive. But he followed the game plan. That's what I like. He frustrated Canelo. We've seen some frustration in Canelo. So he just didn't do enough boxing, and I credit that to Canelo because that's what Canelo does. He keeps punchers from punching and boxers from letting go of their hands because of the counter punching. So he kept those sweet hands silent on Caleb Plant's part. But all in all, once he got into the championship rounds, that's when champions get – the better champion wins, and Canelo obviously fought more championship rounds than it showed.
Yeah, I get it that he followed a game plan, but was that game plan really to win? Like, this is my big issue. Like, Caleb Plant threw the jab a lot. Caleb Plant fought well defensively. He was actually a little bit better than what I thought he was going to be. But to beat Canelo Alvarez, Sergio, you have got to throw right hands. And Caleb Plant, I don't know what the final numbers were, but he threw very few and landed even less. You're just not going to win a fight against Canelo. To me, Sergio, this looked a lot like the fight we saw with Sergey Kovalev. A little bit different. Kovalev probably threw more jabs, and Plant was a little bit more defensive than Kovalev was. But this is what it kind of felt like to me, a Kovalev-type fight where Canelo was just waiting for that opportunity, and when he got it, he struck. And as I recall now, thinking about it, it was the 11th round, right, that Canelo caught Kovalev? 11th round, Canelo caught Plant.
Good observation, Mannix, on that Kovalev and the 11th round. Yeah, both of them got knocked out in the same round. But Kovalev didn't let his hands go because he was a power puncher, a long power puncher, and the faster, more explosive puncher was Canelo. So the more power you let out, the more vulnerable you are to power. That's the reason Kovalev wasn't throwing him, because he was just a heavy puncher. the speed twitch muscle was on Caleb Plant's side. He wasn't letting his hands go. So, like I said, those sweet hands went silent because of the counter punching that was coming back and the body shots. He had to keep his elbows tucked in. So Caleb was doing enough to stay in the fight, to get respect, to frustrate Canelo, but he wasn't winning the fight. I couldn't give him more than two rounds.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, as you watch that fight and you watch the way Plant's fighting, what would you have done differently?
I would have banged away at Canelo's body more. I think I would have stayed in the inside a little bit more. I would have tried to back up Canelo. Not when Canelo backed himself up against the ropes. That was a trick. He was playing possum there. But if Caleb Plant could get in the middle of Canelo, inside, he's the bigger man, and dig away at the body just two shots at a time and then block. Two shots at a time and block and then wrestle around. He's the bigger man. I think he should have implemented some of those game plans instead of just boxing on the back foot, looking at to pop him at the end of the jab. That wasn't enough to win rounds. You got to get on the inside and bang away at the body, keep those elbows tucked in of Canelo. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, but how many times have we seen that from Canelo opponents where, you know, we know how they should fight, but they won't because the speed and the power coming back at them is significant. And I thought Plant did a pretty good job of tying Canelo up. He was warned by the ref a couple of times about holding a little bit too much, but he didn't allow Canelo for the first 10 rounds to really land too many big shots. But like Canelo, you know, I mean, you know this as a fighter, but Canelo strikes me as a little bit different that he never gets phased during a fight. He's following a game plan. And the game plan might include losing two or three rounds along the way. But as long as he continues to set up his opponent and get those finishes like we saw tonight, he doesn't care. Like, you know, you look back at his history, he hasn't won too many lopsided decisions. His fights are usually pretty close because he's trying to set guys up for those big shots. And that's what he did with Plant. He kept cornering him and cornering him and cornering him and finally landed the shot that was good. I think, you know, to kind of answer my own question on what Plant would do differently, I would have stood my ground and gone toe-to-toe a little bit more. The most success Plant had in this fight was when he stood his ground, let some of those punches go, and scored on combination. I'm not saying he hurt him. I don't think he hurt him at all in that fight. But, you know, it felt like the only time he was effective was when he was in the middle of the ring or moving forward on Canelo Alvarez.
Definitely not go toe-to-toe with Canelo. That I wouldn't have done. But I see what you're trying to say. Kind of mix it up with him. Make it dirty. He should have took a page out of Andre Ward's book. When Andre Ward has difficulty landing or outboxing opponents, he makes it dirty. He stays in there with the hands up, elbows tucked in for the body to be protected, and he makes it dirty. He throws two punches and wrestles. He punches in between the break. He lets the referee get involved. Those are dirty tactics, supposedly, but they work. Bernard Hopkins is the king of that. So I think that's what Caleb Plant should have done with Canelo, because he was already frustrating him, you know, for nine rounds, Canelo following him around. So on the inside, the bigger man should have muscled around the smaller man, and I think punching between the break, and that could have added to the frustration. Made it a little bit of a Andre Ward B-Hot type fight. That's what I think Caleb Plant was missing in this fight.
All right, I want to read you some of these scorecards. You give me your reaction to them. Steve Weisfeld, 98-92 Canelo. Dave Moretti, 97-93 Canelo. Patricia Morse-Jarman, 96-94 for Canelo. What do you think about those cards?
Like always, Steve Weisman. I think Steve Weisman, I would like to see what
Bell,
Steve Weisfeld.
Weisfeld.
I'm sorry, Steve Weisfeld's always on point. I think he's absolutely one of the best, in my opinion. And I'm always on point with Steve Farhood. I'm curious to see what he had, but we're always on the same page. So, yeah, you can't go wrong. I think two rounds is the max I could have given Caleb Plant.
This is what it's like. What the fuck is Patricia Morse-Jarman looking at? Like, what is she watching? Hey. 96-94 Canelo? Like, come on. Who is giving it 96-94 to Canelo? Maybe the first couple of rounds. All right, you know, Canelo, we both know Canelo starts slow in fights and he loses early rounds in large part just due to inactivity. Like that first round, I don't think he threw an actual punch until the first minute and 20 seconds were over. So you were going to lose rounds when you fight like that. But as the fight went on, I mean, I thought the ninth was close, but two, maybe three at most. It was all Canelo all the time there.
I don't know what she was seeing. Either, but I think the other two judges.
She's the wild card. She's the wild card. This Patricia Morse-Jarman is the wild card. She always was going to this. That's just annoying. Anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on from that because, you know, that's objective.
Whatever. Good thing Canelo made the judges obsolete. He's one judge obsolete there. All right, let's talk about the future. Let's start with the loser, though. I was saying to someone in Plant's camp right after the fight, like, do you think he retires? I mean, he's still, he's under 30, so he's 28, 29 years old. But it's tough, Sergio, to make $10 million and then go back to making, like, $750,000 or $1 million or even $1.5 million after that. Like, we saw with Billy Joe Saunders, he made $8 million to fight Canelo last May. He has come out and said, and he's in his early 30s as well, he has come out and said, I don't know if I'm going to fight again. Maybe I'll fight Chris Eubank if the money is right. What do you think is next for Caleb Plant?
Like you said, it's hard to go back from $10 million to, you know, $500,000, because I don't even think his next fight is a seven-figure fight. If I'm honest with you, I would say it's more of a $500,000 fight, and they'll probably match him up with Anthony Durrell, who had a, you know, knockout of the year type knockout with Marcos Hernandez, and that'll be a hell of a fight, which I would probably favor Durrell. I would love to see that fight, but you think Caleb Plant is going to go from Canelo to the mega fight he just had? You know, taking that many steps backwards to fight a dog like Durrell, it's not going to happen. Or another former champion or wait a spot for another title shot, it's not going to happen. From 10 million to half a million, the hunger's not there. Retired's a strong word. I think he'll take some time off and he'll wait and pick his spot.
I mean, like, he's got options on the PBC side of the street. You could fight Durrell, as you said. You could fight David Benavidez, though I would strongly favor David Benavidez in that fight.
Me too.
I mean, you can do a lot of different things, but I don't know. I think you're right. It will be a long time before we see Caleb Plant back in the ring. So I'm going to go first on the Canelo future because he was non-committal in the ring when asked afterwards. It's time, Sergio. It is time for Canelo Golovkin 3. Enough with everything else. Enough with Canelo versus Jermall Charlo. Enough with Canelo versus Dimitri Bivol. Enough with Canelo versus David Benavidez. Enough with Canelo fighting these guys who have done nothing to earn that fight. Caleb Plant, smart businessman. Got his payday. $10 million. Earned. No, I'm saying, Caleb Plant did not earn that fight. He did not earn that fight. He's a smart businessman. He had that belt. He knew Canelo wanted it. He held on to it as long as possible. And he's going to cash a $10 million check. But enough of these guys, Sergio. Jermall Charlo at 160 has accomplished nothing. Dimitri Bivol at 175 has accomplished nothing. Let Jermall Charlo fight David Benavidez. The winner of that will have a mandate to fight Canelo. Let Dimitri Bivol fight Zerto Ramirez. The winner of that will have a mandate to fight Canelo. In the meantime, how about we give people the fight that the mainstream mainstream fans, not necessarily the boxing fans, but the mainstream fans still want to see, and that's Canelo against Golovkin. Sergio, I'm around the NBA a lot, obviously. And when I talk boxing to people in the NBA, what comes up often is heavyweight stuff, Fury Wilder stuff, you know, that kind of thing. But the next biggest topic is Canelo and Golovkin. Like, are they going to fight again? Will they fight again?
Yeah.
And you can say, people can say that Golovkin hasn't earned it since the Canelo fight. The second one, he fought Steve Rolls. That was an easy one. He was life and death with Derevyanchenko. Then he fights Kamil Zaremeta. Fine. I can agree with that. But before then, he did earn it. Before then, Golovkin fought 24 razor-thin rounds with Canelo Alvarez. There has not been a definitive winner in those fights. I mean, he has not, you know, I think Golovkin won the first fight, like many people did. No problem with the scoring in the second fight. Canelo did more than enough to win that fight, but there has not been a definitive outcome in that rivalry. And if Golovkin goes out and beats up on Ryota Murata in December, the time is now, May of 2022. Canelo Golovkin 3. What are we waiting for?
I will love to see that fight. Let's make that fight happen, especially if Golovkin looks like the Golovkin of old and wipes the floor with Murata in Japan. That sets it up right there. That needs to happen next. Because one, we don't want to wait for Golovkin to turn 40 years old because that's just going to sound wrong. And, you know, of course we want to see him against a Charlo, a Bivol, a Beterbiev, but those could wait. Golovkin can't wait.
Like,
anymore.
I don't. Like, I'm good.
No, no.
I'm good.
Golovkin can't wait anymore. He can't wait any longer. So I agree with you.
Right.
I'm agreeing with you here. We can't wait any longer. No in-between fights anymore. If Golovkin has a win, and a big win, impressive win against Murata, make the fight happen next. Let's end this trilogy. Golovkin's the only fighter out there. Let's keep it real. He's the only fighter out there that can give Canelo everything he can handle. Andre scientifically and stylistically will give him a hard time, but it'll be similar to Caleb Plant. I think Benavidez will be explosive and a fan-friendly fight. I would love to see it, but Canelo wins. Charlo, another explosive, hell of a promotional fight. I think it does great pay-per-view. Canelo knocks him out. I think the only man that can do the things that we know he can do is Golovkin, because we already seen it in 24 rounds.
I agree. And it's like we just talked about with Canelo against Plant. The only way to beat Canelo is to be willing to let your hands go. And whatever you think about Golovkin, he will let his hands go in that situation. He will throw that right hand in the middle of the ring. Canelo's got a great chin. He stood up to that 2 years ago. He'll probably stand up to it again, but I want to see it. I'm ready. There's nothing else out there that makes any sense to me. It's just that fight. Come on, bring on Canelo Golovkin 3. I want to see Canelo, and I'm recording this from the press room. Canelo has not come out yet to do his post-fight press conference, but I want to see Canelo say it's time for Golovkin. Somebody should ask, do you want to fight Golovkin now? Enough with these games, these little games we play of like, let's keep him on Showtime. Let's bring him over to the zone. Eddie Hearn wants Beeble. Showtime and PBC want Charlo. Enough. There's one fight. That's it. Period. End of story. It's Canelo and it's Golovkin.
Yeah, look, even though we're going to favor Canelo in the third fight, I think he wins and I think he stops Golovkin in that third fight. We still want to see it. I think it's going to be like a middleweight version of Riddick Bowen and Evander Holyfield. You know, the third fight, we got a decisive winner, but it was still a hell of a trilogy that was memorable. This needs to go down in history as a great trilogy. We had two close fights. We have to close that chapter. They deserve it, and the fans deserve it, but it has to happen after this Murata fight. It has to.
All right. Canelo is the undisputed super middleweight championship. By the way, that's another wrinkle to it. If Canelo as undisputed at 168, and Golovkin at unified at 160 after Murata, it makes that fight a little bit more enticing. All of a sudden, Canelo Golovkin at 168, a new weight class for these two for the super middleweight championship of the world, man. I want to see it. So hopefully we get it, Sergio. All right, Sergio, I'm actually impressed you stayed sober enough to do this podcast. Respect. You may now return to whatever, you know, I don't know what you're drinking nowadays. You know, probably some cheap beer.
Hey, listen, man, I'm two beers in. I'm about to crack my bottle of wine. You are in Las Vegas. Go get a beer, Mannix. That's what lacks in your writing, some drinking.
No, it's not. I know. By the way, for people listening, Sergio sends me these texts where he's like trying to offer up suggestions for headlines and stories. So do we want to go with your headline, The Great White Nope?
I sell them, by the way. So if you're going to say it, you better give me $150.
I'm not giving you $150, but I will see you next week in Southern California. Jaime Munguia, Gabe Rosado, that fight will be on the zone. That should be a great fight as well. So Sergio, appreciate it, man. We'll do it again.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kiwi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.